stand for the reading of God's word, 1 Samuel 14, verse 1. I feel like preaching. I missed you last week, but I heard Pastor Jen brought it like always. I was preaching at Pastor Kilpatrick's. I was preaching in Ohio. I was in Alabama. I was running around like a head with my chicken cut off. Come on, somebody. But here we are. I feel like preaching today. Any hungry people in the house? I better ask you again. I said, anybody ready to eat the word today? Are you hungry? Verse 1, now it happened one day that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said to the young man who bore his armor, come, let us go over to the Philistines' garrison that is on the other side. But he did not tell his father. Don't miss that. He did not tell his father. And Saul was sitting on the outskirts of Gibeah under a pomegranate tree, which is in Migron. The people who were with him were about 600 men. Ahijah and the son of Ahitub, Ichabod's brother, the son of Phinehas, the son of Eli, the Lord's priest in Shiloh, was wearing an ephod, but the people did not know that Jonathan was gone between the passes by which Jonathan sought to go up over to the Philistines' garrison. There was a sharp rock on one side and a sharp rock on the other. The name of the one was Bozaz, and the name of the other was Sina. The front of one faced northward opposite Mishmash, and the other southward opposite Gibeah. Then Jonathan said to the young man who bore his armor, come, let us go over to the garrison. They're warring with the Philistines now. Of these uncircumcised, it may be, maybe. Somebody say maybe. Maybe. It may be that the Lord will work for us. Somebody say maybe again. Say it one more time. Maybe. For nothing restrains the Lord from saving by many or by few. So his armor bearer said to him, do all that is in your heart. Go then, here I am with you according to your heart. Two people about ready to take on the Philistines. Then Jonathan said, very well, let us cross over to these men and we will show ourselves to them. If they say to us, wait until we come to you, then we will stand in our place and not go to them. But if they say thus, come up to us, then we will go up, for the Lord has delivered them into our hand, and this will be a sign to us. So both of them showed themselves to the garrisons of the Philistines, and the Philistine says, look at the Hebrews who are coming out of the holes where they were hidden. Then the men of the garrison called up to Jonathan, his armor bearer, and his armor bearer, and said, come up to us, and we will show you something. And Jonathan said to his armor bearer, come up after me, for the Lord has delivered them into the hand of Israel. We about to show them something. How many of y'all ready for God to show that devil something, the enemy something, that addiction something, that struggle something, that divorce something, that pain something, that sickness something? And Jonathan climbed up on his hands and knees with his armor bearer up after him. They're trying to climb up. They're in a low place. And they fell before Jonathan. And he came up after him, and his armor bearer killed them. That first slaughter which Jonathan and his armor bearer made was about 20 men within about a half acre of land. Think about that. And there was trembling in the camp of the Philistines in the field and among the people. The garrison and raiders also trembled, and the earthquake, so that it was a very great trembling. Now the watchmen of Saul and Gibeah of Benjamin looked, and there was the multitude melting away, and they went here and they went there. I wonder if there's anybody ready to see some things melt away. I better ask some people with faith. I said, are you ready to see some things melt away? Come on. And the Bible said they went here and they went there. I told Dawn that last night. I said they went here and they went there. I'm ready to see some attacks go here and go there. But get out of my life in the name of Jesus. Now the text says, come, let us go over to this garrison of these sons circumcised. It may be. Somebody say maybe. I want to talk to you just for a few minutes along these lines, moving on a maybe. Sometimes you ain't got it all figured out. Sometimes you don't have every I dotted and every T crossed. But you know that you're ready for a shift, ready for a change. Is there anybody who believes with faith in God you can still move on a maybe? All right, slip up your hands. Lord, anoint me to preach. You've given me this word. We know that nothing restrains the Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name. Remain standing and give the Lord the great ovation of the day. Tell everybody in your neighborhood, nothing restrains the Lord. Nothing restrains the Lord, and you can be seated. Let me tell you something about God as I dive right into this. I don't want to waste any time. There are times, and I've been doing this a long time, but I want to be transparent with you. There are times when God doesn't make sense to me. Okay, all you super spiritual people with 13 of the 9 gifts, you understand every minute, all the time. But is there anybody here that would say, I get it. There are times when I don't understand what God is doing, and I don't understand how God is working. But I've lived long enough to know that life is not always a straight line. You don't always go from here to there. You don't always see it the way you want to see it unfold. Life has twists, y'all. It has turns, it has highs, and it has lows. Life has ups and it has downs. I'm talking about the life of saved folk. I'm talking about spirit-filled folk. There's times when life doesn't make sense. And to live this life that God has called you to live, it's going to require you at some point to not let your circumstances have the final say. It's going to require you to believe beyond what you see. Can I find at least? It's going to require you at times to walk by faith. And a Christianity lived in faith can't exist in a place of limitation. So I'm going to tell you today that faith, somebody say faith. Faith doesn't wait for perfect conditions. Faith moves sometimes on a maybe. Now, sometimes something we sense, something we feel tells us that we can't stay where we are as we are. We've got to move sometimes by faith. And I'm preaching this because I personally am determined to break free and stay free. I want to be free from the box. I want to be free from a limitation mindset. I do not want to coast. I refuse to just survive. I want to be delivered from anything that would keep me in a place of spiritual paralysis. Because I believe that my God is still able to do exceedingly, abundantly, far above anything I can ask or think. Come on, church. So I want to tell you that you are not meant to live beneath or below your inheritance as a child of the King. Jesus died to make you free. He didn't die for you to be bound. He didn't die for you to think small. He didn't die for you to walk in fear. He died for you to be set free and to walk in freedom. Hallelujah. Now, let's jump in this text. How many of you want to live the next season of your life without limitations? Okay, I better come on down here. I said, is there anybody you want to go join with me as the leader of this house and Pastor Dawn? Are y'all ready to break all limitation thinking off of your life and off of this house? If that's you at home, y'all make a little noise and say, we're ready. Glory to God. Now, I love this text. It spoke to me so profoundly. It said, Jonathan said to the young man who bore his armor, come, let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us. Somebody say maybe. There it is. That the Lord will work for us, for nothing restrains the Lord from saving by many or by few. Now let me ask you something. Have you ever done anything great on a maybe? You didn't know for certain. You didn't have every I dotted, like I said, or every T crossed, but you had a maybe in your spirit. You had a maybe, God will move for me. And when I talk about a maybe, I'm talking about learning how to move in faith. I'm talking about taking the next step, just the next step. When you can't see every step before you all the way clear, it's taking that first step by faith. It requires you this thing that God is calling us to. It's going to require us, y'all, to move in faith. And those who are unwilling to move in faith are destined to remain in the place of limitation. Come on, bring that up. Those who are unwilling to move in faith are destined to remain in the place of limitation. And I'm going to tell you, I don't find the ceiling appealing. I don't want to live in limitation. So somewhere in the equation, faith will be required. You have to step out on a maybe. You don't know how God is going to do it. You don't know how God is going to move. You just trust and believe that He will. Now, here we are. The scene is intense in this text. The nation is being held down. Saul is king. Times are hard. The Jewish people are literally living under the thumb of their arch enemies, the Philistines. Times were so hard that the Philistines didn't even allow a blacksmith to operate in Israel proper. So that means in all of Israel, at that moment, only two men had a sword, Saul and Jonathan. And Saul's forces in this time of warfare had deteriorated to about 600 men. And they are humiliated, and they're afraid, and they're scared to death. And the problem is, so is Saul. Saul is sitting under a pomegranate tree and he's trembling right along with them. And let me just give you a little side note here. You are in trouble when your leader is as afraid and clueless as you are, because bound and fearful leaders will produce bound and fearful people. You've got too much purpose in your life to follow just anybody. You've got too much destiny in your life just to follow anybody. I don't know about you, but I cannot align myself with leaders who don't have faith and who are defeated. I want to get underneath some leaders who believe that anything is possible. Glory be to God. Now, here they are, the Philistines. If you look at the topography, the geography of it, the Philistines held the high ground while the Jewish people, the Jewish men, they sat trembling on the low ground. Israel is contending with a superior force in a higher position, pressed down in a low place. And any military strategist would tell you that this is a disastrous situation to find yourself in. I want to ask you something. Have you ever been there? Have you ever felt pressed down in a low place? Have you ever felt bound personally, bound financially, bound relationally, bound spiritually? Have you ever felt like you've had seasons where you were just held down? Have you ever had times in your life where you've just seen yourself in circumstances and in situations where it seems like the enemy is trying to hold you down? But here in this text, even though Jonathan is there, something begins to stir, and this young man got tired of living in the low place. And there are some of us in this room, we have made up in our mind, we are not going to live in the defeated place, we are not going to live in the low place, we're not going to live in the place of fear. God is for us, and if God is for us, then who can be against us? Come on, somebody. Let me just ask you this. Do I have at least 100 people that's made up your mind you're not living in the low place? So here he is in a low place, and he has a revelation. Nothing restrains the Lord. Watch it now. I love Jonathan because he decided to move on a maybe. But he didn't just move on a maybe alone. He moved on a maybe with a revelation. He couldn't imagine his life in bondage. He couldn't imagine that his life was going to be like this. So he moves on a maybe. There's no burning bush. There's no angel that appeared. There's no open vision. Heaven didn't just open up and all of a sudden angelic forces came down. He just looked at his situation and he said, I can't take this anymore. And I know that my God is bigger than my problem. I can't take this doubt, this fear, this bondage anymore. Sometimes you got to get to a place in your life where you say, I just can't take it anymore. And my God is able to raise me out of the season that I've been in. No open vision. No angelic visitation. No burning bush. Just somebody who got sick and tired of being sick and tired. Sometimes you got to get tired of being defeated. Sometimes you got to get tired of being beat down. Sometimes you got to get sick and tired of the enemy moving in your family and operating in your mind and say, I'm tired of it and I'm not going to take it anymore. And my God is so big that nothing restrains the Lord. He didn't just move, y'all, on some kind of response to some kind of big angelic or vision visitation. No, he stepped out by faith saying, my God is able to get me out of this. I don't know who I'm talking to. You may have gotten a doctor's report. Your children may be lost. Your circumstances may be intense. But my God is still able to change every situation and work. Somebody better give God praise. Victory can still be yours. I look back across my life, the last almost 30 years here. We're about to celebrate 29 years being your pastors. Dawn was 7 years old when we came. Come on, somebody. I'm going to tell you that 80 or 85% of the things that God has allowed me to lead this church into, I didn't have an open vision. There wasn't a burning bush. I just saw a need. And I said, I believe God can do it. When we started Palm Coast, and last week there were 720 people that worshiped on that campus, I did it on a maybe. When we started Orlando just about 10 years ago or so, I stepped out on a maybe. And last Sunday, they had close to 2,500 people worshiping the Lord. Y'all don't want to help me. We just bought a Dream Center. And you know what we bought it on? We bought it on a maybe. I didn't have an open vision. I just said, God, I feel like it's time, and I believe that nothing can stop you. And I'm telling you, I made the offer on day 89 without the money. On day 90, somebody gave $1 million, and sometimes you got to get out there on a maybe. Is there anybody that's ready to move on a maybe? That honors God, see? That pleases the Lord. When you just say, God, I'm just believing that you can do it. And I love what young Jonathan said. He said, maybe. Look down your row and say, maybe. He didn't just go on the maybe because he didn't stop at the maybe. He follows it up with nothing can restrain God. He can save by many. Y'all, I feel like shouting myself down now. I feel like stand up at my, I feel like sitting in a seat just saying, come on, Jim, really preach it. Because my faith is at an all-time high. I'm at a place right now where I am determined that nothing about Calvary is going to settle. Nothing about us is going to just get by. There are some of us who have made up in our mind that we are ready to see God do the impossible. Nothing restrains the Lord. Come on, somebody. To me, man, Jonathan feels like a hero. And I want to tell you, God doesn't need an army, y'all. He doesn't need assistance. He just needs a willing heart that will move in faith. He doesn't even need favorable odds. All he needs is people that will step out in faith. Now watch this. Nothing restrains the Lord. That's the Hebrew word astar. It means to hold back, to hinder, to withhold. The word Ashtar is used when the Lord shuts up the womb of a woman or he closes the heavens. It's the word of absolute sovereign power. And Jonathan is declaring that the same God who opens and closes has the power to do what I need him to do. And he said, this same God who opens and closes, he said, I believe that nothing can close him down. Nothing can stop him. And I've come to tell you today that no matter how big your battle is, no matter how intense your situation is, nothing can hinder God, nothing can hold God, nothing can restrain God, and nothing can stop God. And if you're full of the Holy Ghost and full of the power of God, if nothing can stop God, then in Jesus' name, nothing can stop you. Not the size of the enemy, not the number of the enemy, not the position of the enemy, not the weapons of the enemy, not your past, not your financial problem, not the addiction, not the issue. Baby, nothing can stop God. Jonathan, I'll say it again, he had no prophecy. Nobody came up in the parking lot and said, Jonathan, I got a word for you. Be careful with them parking lot prophecies. Come on, somebody. There was a lady who tried to give me a parking lot prophecy about every 3 or 4 weeks, and they always discouraged me. I mean, she would be speaking stuff over me. Finally, I'm in my 30s, and I'm right in the old building, and she came up to me, and she said, can I give you a word? And I just looked at her, and I said, no, you can't. You should have seen her draw up. Come on, somebody. She got in her BMW and she left. But I'm telling you, I've made up in my mind. I am not getting an agreement with negative people. I'm not getting an agreement with people full of doubt. Come on. He moved because he said nothing restrains the Lord. And that was enough to move on. Let me tell you this. You will either live your life based on your situation or your revelation. You will live your life based on what you see or based on your faith. Your situation says, keep it like it is. Stay put where you are. But your revelation says, move on it. God can do it. Jonathan chose his revelation over his situation. And because of that, God gave him the victory. I came to tell somebody today, get a revelation over your situation. Get a revelation about your family. Get a revelation about your finances. Get a revelation about your issues and begin to praise God that he's able to do exceedingly and abundantly far above. The fact is, Jonathan, y'all, he got fed up. Have you ever? Let me find real people. Have you ever just got fed up with it? Let me ask you this. I know we got to be careful and we got to be really spiritual here today, and you don't want anybody to know you're going through anything. But I just would like to ask about 40% of this crowd. Are there some of you that's just fed up I dare somebody that's fed up with the attack of the enemy. You're fed up with the situations that you've been facing. You're fed up with the devil working overtime. You're fed up with your children being lost. You're fed up with sickness. I'm fed up with what the devil's doing in America. I'm fed up with the agendas of hell. I need a... Give me about 500 people that would say, I'm right there with you and I'm fed up. I'm just tired of it. Jonathan moved because he got fed up. Tell your neighbor, if you can tell somebody around you, just ask them, say, are you fed up? Yeah, somebody say, me too, me too, me too. Jonathan is outgunned. He's outmanned. He's outmatched. But he has a revelation of who God is. When we came here 29 years ago, I'll never forget that Don Colbert came into my office. That was when I was working half day in the office and half day in the yard. We had a school back then. Our church was struggling, and I went out in the yard every day in the afternoon and worked in the yard. And people would come by and roll down the window and say, Pastor, you ought not be working in that yard. And then they would roll up the window and drive off. Come on. But I'll never forget when he would come into my office and say, we tried to buy toilet paper today and we couldn't buy toilet paper. We got denied. Trying to buy toilet paper at Walmart, y'all don't even know. But this little 33-year-old young man sitting in that seat, I said, dear God, you didn't call me here to not be able to afford toilet paper, y'all. There's a lot of things that are important in your life. And I'm going to tell you, toilet paper is at the top of the list. Y'all don't be religious on me. How many of you thank God for toilet paper? We couldn't even, we one ply, two ply, we was getting no ply. Come on, somebody. But I knew that my God didn't call me here to fail. And I need to tell somebody, get sick and tired of the attack of the enemy. Because here we are all these years later, and we can't afford toilet paper. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Now watch this. Jonathan is there, and he decides he's going to confront the issue. You will never control what you won't confront. And you will never conquer what you don't get under control. Attitudes, behaviors, addictions, family issues, personal problems, gossip, your appetite. Jesus. It got quiet in here, didn't it? That was like that uncomfortable laugh, you know? You will remain in that place until you decide to confront it. And I want you to get this, take a picture of it or write it down. Before you fight the enemy, you have to fight yourself. You have to get sick and tired of being sick and tired and confront what's been holding you down. Now, Jonathan stepped out, watch this, y'all, without an audience. He stepped out and told no one, not even his own bound up, scared father, because they weren't even aware that he was gone. And that brings me to something real important. Here's what I've learned. You can't share your plans and dreams with everybody. I better say that again. I said, you can't share your plans and dreams with everybody, because there are some folk who want you to stay down. They can't handle your dreams. They are much more comfortable if you stay with them where they are, down with them, defeated with them, afraid with them. But I made up in my mind, I'm not staying down with you, defeated with you, or afraid with you, because my God is on my side, and no weapon formed against me shall be able to prosper. There are some people, they are not enemies of you personally, but they're enemies of your purpose. Because as long as you stay down, they can feel good about being down. As long as you stay defeated, they can be okay with not moving. But the moment that you decide, I'm not staying. Now, sometimes he didn't tell nobody, not even his dad. Sometimes you got to just shut your mouth and just start moving. Sometimes you got to operate by faith and be very careful about who you choose to follow. Because if you choose to follow the wrong people, you'll stay as messed up as they are. Jonathan's armor bearer, study it. The young man is with him. And this young man didn't even raise a sword. He's his armor bearer. And I want you to understand that. In those days, you didn't even raise a sword until you carried somebody else's armor. Well, it's about to get real. It's about serving. And we still need to serve. And by the way, here's a commercial. You can go through Growth Track. You can serve. You can help us park a car. You can hold a baby. Oh, it's quiet in here now. You could serve. We need you to serve. But see, the reality is, it's interesting how many people want a sword. They want a stage. They want a microphone. They want a title. They want to be lifted up, but they don't want to serve. So the Bible said, so his armor bearer said to him, do all that is in your heart. Go then. Watch now. Here I am. Say two words. With you. Somebody say, with you. Here I am with you. According to all that's on your heart. God, give us some people who will be with us. Have you ever had folks who were with you, but they wasn't with you? They were with you in proximity. They were with you when you were paying the bills. That they were with you when you were doing what they wanted, but they were not really with you. I want to stop right here and say to you that I'm thankful for all the people that have been with me all of these years. We spend so much time acknowledging the knuckleheads and the people that didn't do right by us, but I dare somebody right now to take about 15 seconds and give God praise for everybody that stuck with you. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm with you. Yeah, I'm not just with you in proximity. I want to see God bless your life. I want to see you rise in victory. Somebody that's thankful for those that have been with you, give the Lord a praise in here right now. Don't you think about it. We came here, we didn't know anything. We came here, man, I didn't know how to build, and we were in a building program. We came here, I didn't understand it. Mac Ballard's going to heaven right now. He's there rejoicing, but if it wouldn't have been for him and believing in me and that board, Ernie Rayner, some of y'all don't even know these names, but they were old men that served God and believed in this young 33-year-old preacher. And I'm going to tell you, there's a lot I can shout about, but one of the things I got to shout about is all the good people that God has placed in my life. He said, I'm with you. I don't have a sword, but I'm with you. See, I think that you need to find the right people. That's why we do small groups. That's why we make sure that we connect people to people, because you want the right people speaking into your life, Now watch this. He served somebody else's vision. God had me serve my dad's vision for 10 years in the inner city of Tampa. Before I ever had an opportunity to move beyond that, I served my dad. I really served him until he passed. I took care of him. But the reality is, sometimes you got to serve somebody else's vision on the way to seeing your vision become a reality. Come on, somebody. Now look at verse 4. Between the passes by which Jonathan sought to go over to the Philistines' garrison, there was a sharp rock on one side and a sharp rock on the other. And the name of one was Bozaz, and the name of the other was Sinna. Now, the first three words in this text jumped out at me. It said, between the passes. Have you ever been between the passes? You're not here and you're not there. You're not where you want to be, but you're not where you used to be. You're in that place where you say, I don't know what God is doing, y'all. I got to find some real people to preach to. Have you ever had times in your life where you say, God, I don't understand where I'm at. I just know that I'm between the passes. I know that I'm not where I want to be, but I still believe that you're on my side. And I still believe that you've got a plan. I came to talk to somebody who might be between the passes, that place where you're just not sure. You only know that I can't stay here, that I've got to see God move. Now here it goes. We're about to go deep. You ready? He's between the passes. Who's ever been between the passes? Come on. Not here, not there, just kind of caught in the middle. And on either side, there's two mountains. There's the mountain called Bozaz. And when you define Bozaz, not Bozo, Bozaz, it means surprising. Bozo's sitting next to you. No, I didn't say that. Bozaz means surpassing, white, glistening, blinding in its brightness. Now watch this. It's that time, and he climbed out. It's the reflection that's so bright, he couldn't see where he was going. He had to feel his way through. A handhold here and a foothold there. He didn't have clarity about where he was going. He was just feeling his way through. Can I talk to somebody? Have you ever had seasons in your life where you didn't know for sure how you were going to get there? You didn't have clarity, but you were feeling your way through. You were reaching out there by faith, feeling for a handhold, feeling for a foothold. Some of us have felt our way through. Some of us have had seasons where we say, God, I know that this doesn't seem easy, but I'm just going to trust you. I'm feeling my way through. Some of you right now, you don't know how you're going to deal with it. You just know what you feel. You just know I'm going to walk by faith and not by sight. And some of you have been in a season where things have not been great, but you feel like God's going to turn it around. You just feel like, I dare somebody right now, if you've had to feel your way through, open up your mouth and give God a praise. He's feeling his way through. And here's the deal. He's on a granite cliff, and the implication is that when the sun hits it, it shines so bright that he can't see. So not only is he feeling his way, he really can't see where he's going. And I'm going to tell somebody that wants to get in the light so bad, that wants a spotlight, not only do you understand that he's blinded by the light, I've watched preachers and ministers get on a stage. Listen. And they get blinded by the light. They think the stage is about them. They think the microphone is about them. I'm talking to some preachers who watch me now. But let me tell you, don't get blinded by the stage. Don't get blinded by the light. It's not your stage. It's not your mic. It's not your church. It's just, you are just a conduit that God is using. Because I'm going to tell you something, baby. When you rise in business, when you rise in life, and especially when you rise in ministry, the higher you go, the hotter it gets. Because he's not only dealing with being blinded by the cliff, he's dealing with the heat. And sometimes people want to rise, but they can't handle the heat. I'm going to come down here and preach a minute. There's people who want more, but let me tell you, the higher you go, the hotter it gets. And you better be prepared. If you're going to succeed on any level, you better be prepared to get talked about. Let me talk to some preachers right now. Let me talk to some leaders right now. If all it takes is people talking to get you to want to quit, you'll never achieve anything. But when you've made up in your mind that God is on my side and I'm doing it for his glory anyway, you're going to make it. So Bozaz, it literally means glistening, hot, bright. But watch this. You got to deal with some stuff. You're going to have to feel your way through. You're going to have to walk by faith and not by sight. But here it goes. Watch this. It's important that you get this. You will be required at times to show mercy, to walk in grace. Because watch this. The next mountain that he had to climb was a mountain called Sina. And Sina means thorny, sharp, painful. It's that place where you're climbing and every step hurts something. Every step hurts your flesh. It's that place where God has called you, and you know he's called you, and you're climbing. But it's painful. People are talking about you, but you're still climbing. Nothing's changing, but you're still climbing. It's hard, but you're still climbing. And in those moments, you'll be required to show grace to people who don't deserve grace. You'll be required to forgive. You'll be required to deny yourself. And it's the private stuff that nobody sees. But you got to understand something. Before you face your enemies on the outside, you got to overcome the enemy on the inside. And you won't climb when it's hard. Until you get to this point and say, I can't stay in the low place anymore. So some of us have climbed, and we are still climbing. But here's the revelation. You ready for this? You ready for this? When you climb, it's hard. Sometimes you bleed. Sometimes you struggle. So when you climb up, you get to a point. If I climb up, it hurts. But guess what? If I climb down, that hurts too. Y'all don't want to help me. You get to that place. If I climb up, there's pain. If I climb down, there's pain. Here's what I've decided. If I gotta hurt, and if I gotta feel pain, I'd rather feel pain climbing up and feel pain climbing down, because it's gonna hurt no matter what direction I go. I came to prophesy to somebody. In the name of Jesus, you need to keep climbing. Even if it hurts, keep climbing up, because you're gonna hurt going down and you're gonna hurt going up. I dare somebody who's going up, open your mouth and give God a praise. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, no matter what direction you go, sometimes you're gonna feel pain. But holler at everybody in your neighborhood and say, keep climbing, keep climbing, keep rising, keep believing, keep walking. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You wanna hear what I say? I have too much skin in this thing. I cannot, I will not, I must not go back to tell somebody, I got too much skin in it. I got too much investment in it. I got too much time in it. I can't go back. So here it is. Jonathan gets on the field, and he doesn't even know who his enemies are, because some of the Jewish people have went to the Philistine side. Have you ever been in environments, help me, Holy Ghost, where you didn't even know who the enemy was? They're like frenemies. Come on, somebody. Frenemies. They act like they're your friend, but they're really your enemy. They don't want you to make it. They want to make sure you stay low. They're secretly against your advancement. They seem like your friends. So the Bible says that both of them showed themselves to the garrison of the Philistines. And the Philistine says, look, the Hebrews are coming out of the holes which they were hidden. Then the men of the garrison called Jonathan to his armor bearer and said, come and come up to us and we will show you something. Right then and there, the enemy starts talking. And you're going to have to survive when the enemy talks. Look at Goliath. He never killed nobody, but he talked. And I'm telling you, I don't care what you say about me on Facebook. I'm over it. Y'all have heard me say Facebook doesn't make the lame walk, but it lets the dumb talk. Come on, somebody. You think I'm going to quit over somebody's Facebook post? I've been talked about too much. I know that God is on my side. The words can't defeat us. You're going to have to rise up and face the noise. He gets out there and he moves on a maybe. What about old Peter? Peter and David, they're my two favorites, because I see Jim Raley in them. All right, you super spiritual people. You know, Peter, you couldn't count on Peter. You wouldn't want him to meet you at the airport. He'd show up at the train station. Come on, somebody. Peter just run his mouth all the time. He was a mess. They're in a storm. Oh, this is about to get good. They're in a storm. And they're on a boat that's sinking. And they are all scared to death. And when the storm is raging, Jesus came walking on the water. Maybe it's waves. I've been on the Sea of Galilee many times. Maybe he's walking up and down. It's got waves everywhere. And Jesus is walking on the water. And the disciples are terrified. But Jesus kept coming. Walking over top of the thing that they thought was going to kill him. And Peter said, if it's you, Lord, he shouts and says, bid me come to you. There he is. He steps out on a if. He steps out on a maybe. He walked on water on the power of a maybe. And Andrew and all them sitting in there, and they're saying, Peter, man, sit down. What is wrong with you? James said, Peter, you lost your mind. Stay in this boat. All of the disciples are running their mouth. But Peter, crazy Peter, said the boat is sinking anyway. And he gets out the boat. I said he gets out of the boat. And he steps out of the boat on a maybe. If it's you, bid me to come. And he gets out there, and we know that he sinks. But he doesn't sink until he takes his eyes off of Jesus. And I know they're all yelling, and he steps out, and he takes the first several steps on the water. And they're running their mouth. But I tell you this. They could say, Peter, you better get back in the boat. Peter, you better not do that. Here's what I've decided. I would rather be a wet water walker than a dry boat talker. Come on, somebody. I dare you to look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I would rather be a wet water walker than a dry boat talker. Stay in the boat if you want to, But I've made up in my mind, I'm stepping out of the confinement. I'm stepping out of the fear, and I'm walking toward Jesus, and I'm keeping my eyes on the Lord. And the Bible says that Jonathan and his armor bearer stepped out there, and on a half acre, 20 men came against them, and the armor bearer didn't even have a sword, but Jonathan killed the Philistines that were attacking him, and the armor bearer picked up the sword of the Philistines and started killing the enemy with their own weapons. I came to tell you that when God is on your side, the very weapons that the enemy formed against you, that cancer, that fear, that addiction, you'll turn that on that enemy. And I want somebody that's ready to turn every enemy into your victim by the power of God. Turn that weapon. So powerful to me, because you read the record. The Bible said that the enemy melted. That Saul's watchers are watching, and once the enemy started melting, they got ready to fight. Ain't it something how some people don't want to fight till they're sure they got the victory? But there's some of us who've made up in our mind. We ain't waiting until we see it clear. We're getting out there by faith. I came to tell somebody, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. God's about to melt the enemies of your life if you'll walk by faith and trust Him. And the Bible says that they went this way and they went that way. I'm ready to see the attacks of the enemy. I'm ready to see the enemy go this way and that way. But all I can tell you, not my way. Look at you preaching over there. She done stole my message. I'm ready for the attacks of the enemy to go this way and that way. And it all happened when he stepped out on a maybe. Who knows? But maybe. Some of you need to get a maybe in your spirit. I've been preaching so much, I'm telling you, it's been wild. God's been good. But I couldn't wait to get here to preach to you. Some of you have been in a low place, and it's been ongoing. It's been relentless. And you want to climb out of it, but you don't see your way clear. Who would admit, on some levels, I've been feeling my way through this last season with my children, with my financial situation, I've just been feeling my way through, just a handhold here and a foothold there. I don't see the whole path, God, but I'm just going to keep climbing. And some of you, it's been hard. Man, you've been bleeding. You've been on that sharp rock. I've been there. And we have these choices. Do I keep rising or do I fall? But if I got a hurt going down and it hurts going up, well, bless God, if I got a hurt, I'd rather hurt going up. Than going down. Can you imagine he gets out there? 20 men come against him, and somehow God gives him the victory. And his little armor bearer, who didn't have a sword, gets the sword. He's like He-Man. And they just start fighting. And they have the victory. It's time for some attacks to melt in your life. It's time for some thinking that you've been dealing with. You got to move on a maybe. Some of you have come to this room today and you are worshiping the Lord on a maybe. Now, some of the most radical praisers that you saw in this house, they're in some of the most intense fights. But they have made up in their mind, nothing restrains the Lord. I told you when I stood up to preach, I felt healing in here. There's a wave of healing coming across this room right now. God is regulating blood pressure right now. Come on. God is healing sicknesses right now. God's touching people in their kidneys right now. I feel the Holy Spirit. I feel a healing wave coming across this room. If you need healing in your body, just reach out there and claim it right now. If you need a touch of healing. Hallelujah. I sense that God is healing troubled minds right now. The anxiety, you're like soul sick. Some of you hadn't had a good night's sleep in a while. You lay down and the world just caves in on you. Right now, God is bringing healing into your situation. I feel strength right now. I feel sovereign. Look at me now. In supernatural direction right now. But here's the key. Sometimes you don't have an open vision, a burning bush. You just say, God, here's what I believe. Can't nothing stop you. Nothing can restrain you. So I'm going to move on a maybe. With everybody standing, with heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody moving, because you know I want to bless you today. And I do that at the end of this service. I feel Jesus. I feel Jesus. I feel Jesus in this place, and my soul does burn within me. And my soul does burn within me, burn within me. I feel Jesus in this place. Somebody raise your hands and sing it with me. I'm gonna move on a maybe right now. I can trust you, Lord. I can trust you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, in this place. Yes, my soul. Jesus moving across here, giving faith to people right now. Somebody raise your hands if you're ready to move on a maybe today. Say it again, I feel Jesus, I feel Jesus. Oh, I feel Jesus. I thank you now. I feel place. Somebody who's ready to move on a maybe, raise up your hands and say it. Yes, my soul does. heads bowed and eyes closed just for a moment. I'm telling you, I felt so much of the moving of the Holy Spirit here today. So much in healing, so much in strength. Some of you are living between the passes right now. Some of you need breakthrough. The Lord said, trust me, trust me, trust me. Nothing restrains me. Nothing hinders me. Nothing stops me. But this is such an important moment because there are people here who are bound in sin. You're bound by the enemy and you need to be set free. There's people here who are not where they need to be with the Lord. And if you're here today and you would say, Jim Raley, there's things in my life that ought not be there. It's sin and I'm not ready to meet God. I'm not walking in the victory that I need to walk in. And when you pray for somebody, pray for me. If you're not where you need to be with the Lord and you know that there's sin in your life and you need to get right with God, when I count to three, I want you to raise your hand. Just say, if you're praying, Jim Raley, pray for me. One, there's some things I need to give to God today. I got to get right with the Lord. Two, I want to give all that I am to Jesus. Today is time for my surrender. Three, slip up your hand right now. If that's you, hold that hand up. I need a shift. I need a change. Hands are being raised across the room. You've been trying to deal with it yourself. Your way isn't working. Come on, if you're ready to give your heart to Jesus, I'm going to lend you five more seconds. Here we go. Five, four, hands are still being raised. If you raised your hand up, precious, keep it up. Three, two, oh, that's it. Hallelujah. I sense God doing something here today. Two, one. Now, if you raised your hand and you really meant it, I want you to come to the front and let me pray with you. You won't come by yourself. If somebody next to you raised their hand and they're apprehensive to come, begin to move this way right now if you raised your hand. Come on. Come on, young lady. Come on, sir. Come on, ma'am. Look at him coming. Come on, look at him coming. This altar is open and nothing can restrain the Lord. Come on, young person. Look at this, y'all. Look at this. Look at this. Look at him come. I bet if you'll just rejoice, he'll come. Angels are rejoicing over things like this. Look at young people coming. Look at families coming. Giving their heart to Jesus. Y'all, come on. This is what it's all about. This is why we open the doors. These people are moving right now on a maybe. Maybe God can change this. Hallelujah, hallelujah. If you need to come, I'm going to give you just a little bit more time. But if you're ready to give it all to Jesus, if you're ready to surrender your life and become a Christian and a Christ follower for real, you need to come. Yes, my soul does burn within me. I feel Jesus in this place. I want everybody to take your hand right now and I want you to put it on your heart. This is a moment for you. I'm looking at people weeping and crying. I'm looking at every age, every demographic up here. And I want you to know that God brought you here to this moment because it's your time to leave the low place. It's time to believe that God has better for you. Listen, sir, doesn't matter what your past is. Sisters, doesn't matter what your past is. I am a living witness that the Lord can change your life. He'll do it right now. This is not some empty prayer that we pray that changes nothing. This is a prayer that can change everything. Pray this prayer after me. Heavenly Father, the whole house, y'all know how I do it. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name. I'm asking you Please forgive me for all my sins. I confess them before you now. You see me right where I am. I've been trying things my own way, and my way is failing me. But there's a better way, and there's a higher way. Ooh, glory to God. And that's your way. So today, Jesus, I'm choosing your way. Change my heart. Change me. Give me a new beginning and a brand new start. I believe, God, that you're going to give me victory in Jesus' name. Now I want you, prayer team, just move out and begin to pray with them. I want everybody to stretch your hands toward them just a moment. Father, in Jesus' name, we pray for all these dozens that have come forward. Hallelujah. I need some men right here. Can I have some men that will come and help me right here? John, will you step behind those for me? Yeah, Clay, come on. Hallelujah. Come on, that's it. I got a lot of men here today. I'm glad to see men giving their heart to Jesus. Come on. So we stretch out our hands toward them and we bless them in the name of the Lord. And we declare, God, that your plan is great for their lives. Now, you who love the Lord, raise up your hands. It's very important now that you go from this church and you understand, look at me, that you are an agent of the harvest. I want you to invite somebody to come next week. Let's pack this place out. I'm going to be blessing children next week. It's going to be a mighty day. But let me sing over you. Can I bless you? I sing it over you every week. Are you ready to receive it? I love you so much. I believe in you. You ready? Pastor Dawn, come up here, baby. Do you want to say something?
Yes, before you go, I just want to make sure that you're aware that next Sunday is back to school Sunday.
It is.
Because school's getting back started, and so we want to be intentional on that day. We're inviting, if you're a teacher, we're inviting you to a free breakfast and a gift in the foyer starting at 9:20. But then we're going to actually have a blessing service during that service that we want to pray over families and people going back to school. And then following the service, there'll be water slides and food and all kinds of things. But we want you to go back to school this year encouraged and prayed.
So our intentions are to lay our hands on all kids that are 6 and up. How many of you think that's a good idea? All right. I love you. Stop by in the back and see us. Hold your hands up. I'm going to sing over you. I believe in this. The Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give. I'm going to sing it over you one more time. Wave your hands if you receive it now. The Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give. Now as you're released, stop by in the back, fellowship with one another. I love you more than words can say. God bless you, everybody. Sing it, Courtney.